Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
And I actually think, hearing you say that, that the way that people get to that point is by getting into a relationship where they didn't have self-love, and then afterwards reflecting on it. The problem is, people will have a relationship like that where they don't love themselves, and then afterwards they'll think.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Jane, and today we are joined by Izzy Miller. Izzy is a speaker, content creator, and a trained NLP practitioner.
Izzy has a mission to inspire others to reconnect with their authentic self and consequently help them to lead a life of freedom unaffected by external circumstances. Welcome, Izzy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on here.
We are very,
thank
very
you for
excited.
Being part of the show and being our first guest on season 3.
Whoop!
So I found you on TikTok and duetted with you, and I was like, wow, this person, like, straight up speaks the facts, speaks the truth. And yeah, do you want to tell us a bit more about you and how your journey started, where you got where you are, and anything else?
For sure, yeah. I mean, it's always a bit of a whirlwind, especially TikTok. But I guess going back, I was always quite enthusiastic, very positive, and obsessed with self-development, self-growth, obsessed with quotes. But I used quotes as a reactive measure rather than proactive. So I'd wait until I was upset, but before reading the quotes and being like, everything's okay, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to be strong through this. But that didn't stop me from actually blowing up in the first place and melting down. I used to be really, really emotional. And sort of where it all started, I guess, where I got over that was at university. I was in a fairly long-term relationship and we were planning to move in together. So we'd got a 2-bed flat already sorted. We'd got jobs already set up. We'd gone away on an anniversary trip, came back, and I found out that he'd been doing some things that maybe he shouldn't have been doing. Oh. And yeah, it was, I thought he was the one. maybe young me, first long-term relationship, but it genuinely felt that way. And I think I actually listened to one of your previous episodes with, I think it was Joe Westwood on codependency. Mm-hmm. And I think I realized listening to that, that was what had been going on. I was so invested in, it was us, there was no me anymore.
Yeah.
And so when I felt I need to give this a go in forgiving him, we've got this flat, so I tried, but it didn't work out. In the end, the relationship ended, moved out of the flat, couldn't afford the flat anymore, and I lost my job. And I was so emotional that that was what stimulated me losing the job. lost a huge amount of weight by going to the gym all the time to try and process it, but almost distracting myself from it rather than processing it properly. And because I was trying to work on myself, but didn't love myself. And then I eventually lost my period as well. So it was just all of these things that just went wrong. And like your whole world just came crashing down.
And that's a lot to deal with. That, I mean, that's a lot that's happened in a short space of time. Massively. And it's a lot to comprehend.
Yeah, I was about 20, 21. And I had no idea. And with all due respect to him, we were both too young to sort of know what to do. And the other person, we can vilify them and make us, I very much victimized myself in that situation. But at the end of the day, it's evidently two people struggling. Nobody, mm-hmm. male or female, does that kind of thing, whatever it is, from a place of self-love themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, neither of us knew how to process that. And we did the best we could in the emotional state that we were in, but that emotional state was not very strong. And so it was not very successful. And I'd say for 6 months, I was just horrible to be around. Did not like myself, in the gym way too much. And that my strength in the gym, I felt was enough rather than having emotional strength. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I had to move out of my flat in London and go back and stay with my family for a bit. And actually being around family where I'd pushed them away before, I started listening to the nice things that they were saying. And the new job that I got, family, it's sometimes hard to listen to what they say. But when you get a compliment at work from somebody that actually knows you in a professional setting, that started me thinking about getting back to my authentic self. And I, mm-hmm. yeah, basically since then went on a roller coaster of self-development, focusing on authenticity and confidence, because I had completely been lost when the relationship had ended. And then after a while, about a year and a half later, 2 years later, something like that, started posting on TikTok and found that people really resonated with it. And it was really helping them. And I, you know, what they say, just share what you needed to hear and what worked for you. And there are going to be other people who need the same. And evidently that was the case. So
was it quite difficult to get on TikTok and talk about your feelings like that? Was that a difficult task for you to do? Or did you think it was quite natural?
I've always been a sharer. So I like communicating things and passing on knowledge to other people. So in that sense, I was doing it over on Instagram, but was always in the back of my mind, am I annoying people? Because on Instagram, you only see really who you're following. Whereas my sister really wanted me to download TikTok, but I thought it was all dancing. And
that's what I thought as well.
I honestly, she told me about a year before I went on, or it was 6 months to go on. And I was like, no, it's not for me, not for me. And then I looked at it and there were psychologists, all motivational speakers on there. And I thought, well, this is a place where no one has to follow me. And people can choose if they resonate with me. And if nobody sees it, at least it's a place for me to get this off my chest and feel like it's out there. So when I did a first post where I talked about what I just explained with the relationship, I think that was slightly, there was a bit of nerves in that. But because the basis of what I do is authenticity, as long as it's authentic, then I actually cannot not post it, yeah. in some sense.
Yeah.
Because it's true for me. And if it's true for me, then there is, and this is something that I came to gradually, it was obviously quite a journey to this place where I'm in now, but if it's authentic and truthful, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's actually what I noticed when I went onto your TikTok. I was like, wow, what you're saying is just so honest and you're so easy to listen to. And what the tips you give just makes, it's almost like a light bulb moment goes off in your head and you're like, oh my god, what she's saying is completely correct.
Massively.
That means a lot. I mean, even with the authenticity part, you have to, in order to have a bigger reach, you have to have a bit of a hook, right? Mm-hmm. You have mm-hmm. to say something, be quite strategic with your delivery. And I really struggled with that to start with because I felt it's not authentic. So I would never refilm something, mm-hmm. I would never script it, because I wanted my passion and emotion to come through. But then you've also got to think, well, the better if you just have a simple 5-6 word hook, you get more people to watch the authentic bit. Yeah. And you're not lying to them. It's actually something that is valuable and hopefully, as you say, has a bit of a light bulb moment mm-hmm. for them.
Definitely, definitely. So when it comes to, obviously, we talk about this a lot, and I think we wanted to start the new season, basically, because we talk about dating and relationships, but what we really haven't spoke about is where it all starts. And you've got to love yourself first. And I think this is a problem with people not loving themselves properly. And then they try and give love out to people when they don't care about that. Like, they don't feel that love from themselves. So what would like your tips and advice be on loving yourself?
I mean, it's so cliche to say, but it's so true, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think, hearing you say that, that the way that people get to that point is by getting into a relationship where they didn't have self-love and then afterwards reflecting on it. The problem is people will have a relationship like that where they don't love themselves, and then afterwards they'll think, oh no, it was the wrong person, or it was all them, or just, you know, right person, wrong time. And won't actually reflect on, maybe there was something within me that wasn't right. Obviously, they might not have been the right person, and probably not, but having that ability to reflect and look at, okay, well, there's something that Tony Robbins says where he says, on an average day, what are you out of 10? Mentally, how much, I guess you could frame it, how much do you love yourself out of 10 on a daily basis? And then he says, you know, the average is normally about 5. He says, would you want to date a 5?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you want to date a 10 out of 10. And and that's vice versa. So people like to use the word broken, right? If you're struggling with different areas, maybe you're healing from something and someone else is also in the same boat, then you're going to connect because you're sort of in alignment emotionally. Yes. you're in alignment emotionally. But then if one of you heals from that, but the other person doesn't, then you're no longer at the same place. And you can try and support each other, but there's going to be resentment there. There's going to be resistance. And so it's about connecting from a place where you can grow together. And some people make that work really well. They come from a place where they're both vulnerable and they grow together. But mm-hmm. that's quite a special and rare occasion, I'd say. And so the place that you want to be is where you're 70, 80, 90, 85 to 100%, if 100% is even possible, happy with yourself.
Yep.
And then no matter what the other person does, it's not a reflection on you. And you can always think, how can I improve myself? That's really important. But your self-worth is not dependent on their mm-hmm. actions.
Yeah.
I actually think a lot of people carry so much resentment into their next relationship. They're kind of stuck in the past. I'm kind of similar to you, Izzy, in the way that I'm all about positivity. I'm always about forgiveness, where I've got friends that are so negative and they say, you know, how can you let that person away for it? How can you forgive them? And I'm always trying to give the positivity side and say, you know, well, I wouldn't have met my partner just now if that relationship didn't go well. And you know, it's not I'm making excuses for the people in the past, but I'm forgiving them. And a lot of people can't forgive. Actually, my friends always hate the fact that I'm positive. They're like, why are you so positive all the time? I don't understand it. Why are you never angry? But I am like, I'm all about, you know, why would you want to be stuck in that negativity? It's so bad for your mindset. So do you get that? Do you get that from friends or people that are your followers saying that you're too positive? Do you ever get that?
I get some people, there's a whole thing about toxic positivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, what I actually don't get a huge amount of that. And I don't know if it's about the delivery or the way in which I talk about positivity, mm-hmm. but it's that it's not about being positive all the time. It's about the best thing that I can, the one thing that also was a bit of a click moment for me was hearing a guy called Vex King say that everything that happens is neutral until we label it as negative or positive. It's like, you know, Santa comes naughty or nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no label like that on anything. No matter the most horrific thing that happens, it's still neutral and we decide. And so And also another part of that isn't saying, okay, right, I understand that, so I'm going to make every single thing positive. Mm. No, you can choose to say, actually, I'm a bit annoyed about that thing that's happened. And then you are choosing. So that's where you're choosing to respond rather than react. And then some things with grief, that can spiral. But if you can recognize where the grief is coming from and sort of understand the emotion and choose the emotion, then you're not controlled by it. And that's the difference. And then you are essentially positive because you've chosen.
Yeah.
And any choice that you've made consciously is a positive, is an element of that.
That's such a great way of describing that. That's actually perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the way of, like, it's, I think Buddha mentioned it, didn't he? The fact that he lived a life of positive, he didn't see any hurt, he didn't see any pain. And he said that sometimes you've got to see the bad, you've got to experience the bad before you realize how good you've got it.
Mm-hmm. So. Contrast is so important. And even referring to things as contrast, I do a gratitude in the morning and I will say, thank you for the contrast. If you see the bad, stereotypically bad things as contrast, then it's just something you're seeing. It's black and white. It's red and green. It's just color that, honestly, life would be so boring if there was no drama.
That's it. You all love a bit of drama.
It would be.
Yeah. You wouldn't know what it feels like.
Just the right amount of drama would be good. Not too much.
Yes. But then you're in control of the amount of drama that you feel and the amount of drama that you surround yourself with.
Yeah. I heard a great quote recently that basically said, the opinions of others, it's got nothing to do with you. You know, what people think about you, it's got nothing to do with you. And I feel this is another thing that people, and I think that this stops people from going out and doing things on their own experiences, solo dates and stuff, because they care about too much about what other people think. And when they go out, and I'm like, I don't care. I'll go on a solo date because that person that I probably will never see again with their friend or whoever, are they really going to judge me? They're really going to be like, oh, why is he on his own? You know, it's people's mindsets, I feel, on that. Yeah.
And just on that note, the more that you see someone out on their own, the more it's normalized.
Yeah.
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 There was a moment for me where in January last year, where I had this confidence realization. I'd worked for a year on the authenticity, but still not had the confidence to express it fully. And I was participating in this online webinar workshop, and there was some dancing involved in it in terms of getting into the state. And I would always shut the curtains. And I thought for a minute, hang on, why am I shutting the curtains? There was a house opposite mine, and I'd seen someone dancing in there maybe like a month before. And it made me smile. And I thought, oh, that's so lovely. And especially they've got the confidence to do that. And then here was I shutting the curtains because I didn't have that. I felt, oh, I'm going to look weird. I'm going to annoy people. Sorry, who says that you dancing is going to annoy people? Maybe if you're screaming in your house, that's going to annoy someone. And singing in the shower at the top of your voice, if you're in a semi-detached house. But we think that, that we're going to be judged, but actually we might be inspiring people. And the people who are, nobody is going to judge you if they are in love, if they do have self-love themselves. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most sort of click moments as well, that the only people that are going to judge me are the people who aren't happy in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If I'm walking down the street, exactly, and you're having dinner on your own, I'm going to smile. I'll massive respect for you. I'll think that's really great. Unless you're sitting there on your phone, in which case, you're not really on your own, are you? But if you can, a lot of people can't be on their own. Mm-hmm. So as far as I see that, as someone who has got to a place of love for themselves, I'm not thinking, oh, he evidently has no friends. How is that the first thought that pops into your head? It's not. Mm-hmm.
People, you know, not. Like, I don't mind like going places by myself. Like, it's a moment where you're like, oh, I just want some peace. Like, I love just like sitting in a cafe reading a book. But like you said there, I would never walk past somebody that was sitting on their own and think, oh, they've got no pals. That would never cross my mind. But people keep thinking, oh, that's what people will think of me if I do that. Yeah,
I mean, I went and climbed Ben Lomond on my own. I turned my phone onto flight mode and was like, I don't want any distractions. I just want to climb this on my own. I don't care what anyone thinks. And I'm just like, gonna get to the top, enjoy the piece. And literally, it was complete and utter silence.
Perfect. There
was, I've never had anything like that where it's just silent, apart from the wind. When the wind stopped, I was just like, what? Yeah. And it's just incredible. So freeing, you know, getting out there and doing things that push you out of your comfort zone.
So as you also run workshops and courses. Can you tell us a bit about that? What would people expect if they came along to a course or a workshop?
Yeah, so I, after sharing on TikTok, some people reached out and said, do you offer one-to-one coaching? And I said yes. And that evening, I created the website, created the offer, and worked out how to do invoices and all sorts. And the next, put the link in my bio, and that was it. And people reached out and wanted the coaching. So people can do one-to-one coaching, just the odd session, or they can do a bit more ongoing. I'm very solution focused, and I don't get fulfillment until I see someone's got the results. Nothing else really matters to me. I've got to pay bills, but literally other than that, I love what I'm doing. I found my thing. We're going to be launching a rapid transformation sort of coaching soon. Okay. So it's a month of, because if we want to change these habits, it's things that you've got to be doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
So just on earlier, Jane, you said about bringing resentment from one relationship into another. Yeah. And something that I'm recently in a new relationship, and this was something I'd thought of before when I was helping other people with how to have time for themselves when they're with a partner. So before you go and be with anybody, whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's your partner in the morning, I highly recommend, and tell everybody this and recommend it to everybody, to take 20 minutes, or for me, I wake up at 5. That's just what I choose to do.
Wow.
So I have 2 hours before the world sort of wakes up and needs me. And it's where I journal. So I write about how I'm feeling. And in a relationship, so in this relationship that I'm now in, we will wake up, we'll say good morning, and then go and sit in different sides of the room and journal and check in with ourselves, because we can't expect the other person. If you wake up tired or stressed, anxious about the day, then if you don't recognize that, you're just going to naturally react to things in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. So taking that time for yourself means you can sort of prepare to be around this person that means a lot to you. So that, and that is something that is a cumulative effect. When you do that every day, you get better at choosing to respond in the moment anyway, mm-hmm. rather than having to prepare. So if something happens late at night, even though the journaling was in the morning, you're better at understanding how you're feeling and choosing to respond. And so linking back to the rapid transformation idea is, when you do these things consistently, you're replacing a habit. You're not getting rid of a habit of thinking or a physical habit. You've got to swap it for something else. And the first step is becoming conscious of it, which takes a lot. I'm personally trying to stop saying, you know how difficult it is to be conscious of when you say that.
So I've been sending voice notes and also the podcast. And first time when I started editing, I was like, wow, how many times do I actually say, and I'm like, process what I'm going to say before it comes out.
Yeah. And there's brilliant, really successful speakers and people who say it all the time. But someone said to me that when you say it, it's an attempt to pretend like you do know what you're saying, rather than just giving yourself the time, which actually is more suspenseful. Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Before you carry on with what you're saying. So yeah, that's something that hopefully will, it maybe sound brutal, but I just don't care about working with people for 50, sending a DM that they're not going to listen to, mm-hmm. or they're not going to work on. It's a waste of time. And I'm all about impact.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually do these things, which is, I practice what I preach a billion times more than I preach it. So yeah, that's something. I'm also working. I said the word.
It doesn't matter. We can edit it out, but we're not going to, because you just said,
that would be a lot of editing. It's just becoming conscious. It's a difficult one. Try it.
And you've also got a book coming out, or have you got, you're writing a book, or you?
Yes. So the book's on the fear of embarrassment.
Amazing.
Yeah. There's so many books on fear, but the fear that you have is you, would you have fear if you lived on a desert island with no animals that could kill you and no people? Probably not. No. You just wouldn't feel that. So the fear comes from, take out animals and the potential of death. It's the social interaction and what people are going to think of you, which from back when we were just trying to survive, social acceptance is related to survival, survival instinct. So it's all about the fear of embarrassment. That was something that I started really just a gut feeling, and I couldn't stop writing last year when I had the wave of confidence. But it's something that probably won't be coming out for quite a while, because I want to have more experiences where people would stereotypically say you've embarrassed yourself, but actually, you know, and work through that a bit more. But yeah, in the meantime, I'm working with a couple of organizations who currently go into schools and universities and organizations delivering workshops, 3-day events and bits and bobs like that. So I can see how it is and share some of what I do within an already established setting before I go out and launch it with my own personal brand. So yeah, there is a lot more coming. But in the meantime, sticking with the coaching and doing one-on-one things.
Well done. You've got loads of amazing things to look forward to, which is fantastic.
Shall we talk about values? Because I noticed the 3 values on your website. And basically, they relate quite closely to dating as well. So should we start with communication and why that's important?
Yeah. If you can't communicate in a relationship, then on both sides, what happens is, say you're struggling with something. As a female, you'll often, maybe you will, say you, there's something that you don't like that the other person has done. If you're in a reactive state, you might bring it up with them and be very much like, you've done this, in which case the other person will get quite defensive, or they might retreat. Or if they've done something, you might not say anything at all and just, you'll retreat, you'll distance yourself mentally, and then the connection is broken. So the ability to communicate, and communicate in a way that is saying, this is the problem that I can see, and this is you and this is me. There's 3 elements. The other person is not the problem. I am not the problem. The problem is outside of us. And if you can communicate that and help the other person to understand that you're not blaming them, then you can work through it. And communicating how you're feeling, so making sure that the other person feels comfortable in expressing how they're feeling, and you're not going to get defensive or get annoyed at them. It's that openness within the communication that you communicate. It's okay to communicate and make mistakes, but also that you learn how to communicate in a better way.
Yeah, because that leads on to honesty then, doesn't it, as well?
Yes.
And obviously self-responsibility.
So. They're also linked, yeah. If you can communicate, which is what that long-term relationship, they were very good at communicating, but the problem was they weren't honest. What's like authenticity? What's the point of authenticity if you don't have confidence to express it? What's the point in honesty if you can't communicate? And what's the point in communication if you're not honest? So it's even saying within the communication, again, this is, for some reason, I am feeling something that you said really triggered me, and I'm trying to understand why. I know it's not your fault, because you probably didn't mean it like that, and that gives the other person the opportunity to explain what they did mean. And you can work out, whenever you get an emotion of anxiety, jealousy, all of these things, it's a trigger. It's like the fuel light coming on the car. That's all it is. And yet we think, oh, we're a bad person. So again, when you said, Jane, about bringing in previous experiences with my partner, he actually asked, do you think that any previous experiences have changed the way that you see relationships now? And I said, he'd expressed that one of the things that he struggles with is jealousy, and he's trying to understand it rather than blaming the other person for maybe being too flirty or whatever. And on my side, I said, well, one of the big things was distrust, you know, and that's been proven. And so my brain knows, it's got proof that people lie, and it's got proof that this could all go wrong. And that actually when he's sitting on the other side of the room messaging on his phone, I don't know who he's messaging. But what do I know to be true in this situation is that this person I'm with now, I know that they are very honest. And even if they're not, I have enough self-love that I don't want to be with someone who's not honest.
Yeah.
And even if I find that out that they're not a few years down the line, I'm still going to be okay with that. It's still using their neutrality, label it negative, positive, or neutral. I can still see it in a way that serves me, as I've learned from this, and I'm still okay without this person not having that codependency.
Because a lot of people, they always ask, they're like, oh, would you go back and change anything from the past? And I'm like, no, because it's made me who I am today. You know, without those experiences, I might have gone in a different way. I might have, something else might have happened to me. And this is the thing. It's like, you learn from your past. You don't keep it in your present, but you learn and have those experiences. And then you move into the future with, the experiences that you've got.
Absolutely. And you're so right. I think the fear of where else would I be if that hadn't happened is more scary than going back and changing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, regards to on your phone, before I met my boyfriend, the other people that I was casually seeing, when they were on their phone, they would turn their phone over. So like it was facing down, so you couldn't see it would come up. And that was always a trigger. I would always automatically think, who are they texting? Who do they not want me to see come through their phone? And then when my boyfriend now, like his phone's just like lying about, like, so there's so much trust there. Like he's not hiding anything. But yeah, that was one thing for me. If someone had their phone down the other way, I'd be like, oh, all these like questions going through my head. But again, that could be innocent as well. That could be just the nature of a habit or whatever.
It could just be the fact that they didn't want distractions,
exactly.
So they turned it upside down.
Of course, but that was always a trigger for me. So now I'm just like, oh, thank God your phone's just there.
That's where those values really come in, the self-responsibility of, they might actually be being really respectful in turning their phone over so they're not distracted. Yeah. Or, you know, my previous partner would, if I came over when he was on his phone, he would put his phone down. And at the time, because I thought he was really honest, and he was just putting it down because he didn't want to be on his phone when I was there. Whether it was that or you never know, there's always two possibilities. Mm-hmm. But that's where the honesty and communication comes in, where you say, and again, the right person won't get defensive about it if you say it in the right way. If you say, can I just be honest with you about something? Every time you put your phone down like that, for some reason, it triggers in me this feeling that you're hiding something. And I, maybe you are, but I want to believe that you're not. And then you can discuss again that problem of, okay, well, let's wonder, where is that trigger coming from?
Uh-huh.
Why is your brain telling you that's what's happening? Working through it.
Sorry. This reminds me of the fire triangle that you learned at school. So, you know, the three values. So fire can only happen with oxygen, ignition, and a fuel. So with the values, it's like you need all three to actually make it work.
Yeah.
You need the honesty, the communication, and self-responsibility.
That's brilliant. I might steal that. That's
you can steal it. It's the fire triangle. And without it doesn't work. So we're going to move on to a little game now. It's kind of either or would you rather going on. So basically all you've got to do is answer the question and a quick reason why you would choose that over the other thing. So I'll let Jane can go first.
Okay, so
asking the questions.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person. I mean, because I don't have enough time to message back and forwards and then potentially meet up. It depends what you want. What's your goal? Is it because you feel lonely and you want someone to message? In which case, maybe a journaling might be better than using a dating app. But if you actually want to find a partner, then meeting up is the quickest way to do that.
Perfect.
Second one, first date, coffee or dinner?
Coffee. I'm all about, I personally don't really like dates because you, at the end of it, you either say yes or no, right? You can't just stay friends. And so I think coffee is more casual. I just wouldn't want to be sat opposite somebody. Again, time yeah. is your biggest asset. Yeah. Do you want to take that risk or do you want to have a coffee and a walk?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, third question. When messaging someone, do you prefer texting or voice notes?
Oh, if I haven't met them, you know, if it's for that, then texting. But no, I'm a voice noter. It's I guess time is a common theme here. I'm a voice noter.
Jane hates it because I'm always like voice note. It's just like I can't listen. I'm busy. Like, make time.
It's more of a there's less mixed messages because you can, you know, I guess that's messages can be quite cryptic, right?
Mm-hmm. Because everyone interprets it mm-hmm. to their own narrative. Based on experiences yeah. and everything yeah. like
a
that.
A mixture of both. Okay.
Yeah, a mixture. So, would you be more nervous about meeting your partner's friends or meeting your partner's family? And I know that you went and met them at the weekend, so that's why I slid this one in.
That's a really interesting question. Oh, I think maybe friends. Mm-hmm. I'd say friends, I think friends maybe have more of an influence than family, but then even that's not an answer I believe in because I think the person should make their own decisions rather than go off what the friends and family say. But yeah, that's a really interesting question, but I'd probably say friends.
We're going for friends. And then finally...
Because actually, just as to add on to that, because you know that the person's probably talked about you to their friends, but they might not have talked about you to their family, so that's, you know that there's already context there.
That is a very good point. Yep.
Okay, and the last question in regards to trust, do you trust the person straight away or do they have to earn it?
Going to the self-responsibility and what I talk about, I think that trust is an element, but it all comes from you. Mm-hmm. And yes, the person can earn it, but if you have a history of really questioning what people say, then they're going to have to take a long time to earn it. And it's so personal and so I think that shows that it is from within.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to be in the place where you meet someone and you do trust them until they give you a reason not to. So I think that comes from you, really.
That's amazing. Right.
Final thoughts. This segment is called Final Thoughts, where we've reached the end of the episode and we take a look back at what we learned, what we're going to take away, or what we just found a little bit funny.
Now we do the segment that's called Final Thoughts, where basically we take a look back at the episode and pick one thing that we either found funny, inspiring, or one thing that we're going to take away from it. So, Jane, let you first.
Yeah, what kind of struck a chord to me is when you kind of mentioned about in regards to being positive, you know, you can have a negative thought. It's okay to feel negative or angry about something, but it's how you turn that around. And I like the way you mm-hmm. how you described it, because like I said, everyone's like, oh, you're always so positive, but you know, there is times where I'm thinking, that does annoy me, but I'm trying to think of a way to get around it. But just the way you described it was just spot on, and like that basically was my final thought.
Great.
Izzy, your go.
Well, just if can I comment quickly on that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's, I think people think if you're positive, then you don't have those thoughts. And there have been times when I think, oh gosh, am I really actually a bad person for thinking these things? But it's recognizing that there's a difference between the brain that's telling you that and actually the other side, the rational side. And if you used to be really reactive, then that's a lot of years to change mm-hmm. how you are. So feeling annoyed at, like I get annoyed at, at people, and I've become conscious of it. And I'm like, hang on a minute. No, they haven't actually done anything. Why? Why is it I'm feeling annoyed? Did they mean to? Nobody means to necessarily annoy you. And if they do, they're not worth the time, mm-hmm. right? So it's just talking yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you say? What's your final thought?
I personally love that you went to, what was it, Ben Lomond?
Ben Lomond,
On your own, Phil. I think that was, not many people would do that, and especially to turn your phone off and to have that time to yourself. And also Jane, from what you said about turning the phone over, and just made me think more about how there's always sort of two sides of the story, and it's which one do we choose? So, and the fact that you noticed that within what you were doing, yeah, stood out to me.
And Phil, what would you say is your final thought?
There's loads of moments that have been a bit like, whoa. But I think what you said about everything being neutral until you decide whether it's a positive or a negative, that stood out to me. And that was like, that's true. Because we decide in ourselves what goes where, in what box. And we can flip the narrative and make something a negative and go, well, maybe it's a positive because I've learned this from it. You know, so yeah, mm-hmm. that definitely has stood out from me. So awesome. Yeah, want to say thank you for coming on and your amazing insight. And if anyone wants to find out more about Izzy Miller, where would they find you?
You can, my website is izzymiller.com. My Instagram is izzy.miller. And my TikTok is izzy.miller as well. So basically search Izzy Miller and it should come up somewhere.
You'll be there somewhere. So thank you very much for coming on and being our first guest of season 3, because it's been absolutely amazing. And yeah, thank you everyone for listening. And we will see you next week. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.